Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. I am hyped. I've got a really, really good show for you today. I am pumped. I mean, pretty much every single day, but especially certain days where I know I've got some good content to push out there. And today is one of those days. Let's do it. Got a Thursday night matchup this evening I want to get into. Lots of football. I've got a reset of podcast number 96. And I want to talk Lane Kiffin. There's a reason to talk Lane Kiffin. ESPN has done a feature on the 10-year anniversary of him being at Tennessee. I remember that time being very, very good. I don't remember it being this good. So I can't wait to get to that. The show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, telephone number is toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter. Do it at Jim Rome. Tweets are a big part of the program. Believe it or not, emails are still a part of the program. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. The interview is set up like this. Interesting setup today. I've got one coming up next segment. Hall of Fame tight end Tony Gonzalez in about 15 minutes. Middle of the program, wide open. Back-to-back to start hour number three. The driver of the number 19 car, Martin Truex Jr. Top of the third hour, Terry Francona, Indians manager, 20 past hour number three. Second hour is open. And lots to cover. Call the program right now, 1-800-636-8686. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. I want to start with Dak Prescott. It was not that long ago that people were debating whether or not Dak Prescott deserved to be paid like a superstar quarterback. We had that conversation and that discussion right here on the program. Now, two games in, he's got a passer rating of 142.9. He's got a completion percentage of 82.3%. He's got a 2-0 record. He has a Sports Illustrated cover. And that article in SI is all about one thing. Money. Cash. It's all about how much money the Dallas Cowboys are making and how they negotiate with their players. And there's a really interesting subtext to the article. Subtext being a Dallas Cowboy means having perks, bennies, financial perks, meetings with movers and shakers, access to money and people who can make you even more money. As one agent told SI, quote, "The players know if you can put a team like this together and win Super Bowls, they'll have probably six-figure autograph deals for the rest of their lives. The Cowboys don't slam it down anyone's throat, but they let people know. If you stay here and good things happen, you're all going to be able to make money when you're done playing." End quote. All right, so that's really interesting in and of itself. Because the subtext for Dak Prescott is even more clear. You might want to think about knocking a bit off your price because being a Cowboy means you're going to make more money elsewhere. So do the right thing. Fact of the matter is, it's not even a subtext. It's not even a subtext because Stephen Jones comes right out and he says it. Quote, "We're trying to talk all of these guys into, hey, let's not take every last penny here. That's why the deals can't get done right away. We're trying to convince the Dax and Amaris and Zeke's that, hey, we need to spread the money around. This is a distribution dilemma here." End quote. Man, that's some kind of phrase, isn't it? A distribution dilemma. Yeah, a distribution dilemma. Just so we're really clear, this is the same Stephen Jones who's also quoted in that same article as saying, quote, "Whether it's misplaced or not, I know this. We haven't won a Super Bowl in 23 years, which just kills me and it kills Jerry just as much. But you know, we're still the most valuable brand, most valuable team in sports. $5.5 billion. Number one, above all the soccer teams, the Yankees. And being involved with that is valuable since a lot of these guys talk about themselves in terms of their brand." End quote. Man, that's rich. It's one thing to think that. It's another to say that. And it's another to put it in our face. So just to recap, the Cowboys are worth more than $5.5 billion, more than any other sports franchise, but they have a distribution dilemma. A distribution dilemma. Yeah, there's a dilemma, all right. The dilemma is, why are you asking guys to take less than market value while at the same time you're bragging about how much money you're worth? That's why the salary cap's a joke, because a team that claims to be worth $5.5 billion is claiming they don't have the money to pay market value for their players. They're worth $5.5 billion, more than any other franchise, and they can't wait to tell you, but they're telling their players, hey now, don't get greedy. Let's not take every last penny here. You see, if there really is a, quote, distribution dilemma when it comes to paying the Dax and Amaris and the Zeke's, that's not a Dak problem, that's a Jones problem. Because they knew they were going to have to pay Amari when they made that deal for Amari. You see, Dak Prescott is not the lucky guy in this situation. The Cowboys are the ones who are lucky. He fell to them in the fourth round. That's how lucky they are. Jerry Jones, the QB guru that he is, wanted to take Johnny Manziel 2 years earlier. How would that have worked out? So, if you're worth $5.5 billion, why should Dak take a penny off his asking price? Yeah, and I know. The Jones family and you Cowboy honks would say Dak should take less money because that means he can stay as a Cowboy. And being the Cowboy quarterback means endorsements and fame. That being the quarterback of the Cowboys is a privilege. To which I say, psst, please.
Please.
Listen to me carefully. Do you really think that Jerry or Stephen Jones tell potential sponsors or advertisers, hey, listen, we're going to give you a reduced rate because we're worth $5.5 billion and making plenty of money in other spots. We'll make that money up elsewhere so you can have a reduced rate. Hell no. They know the Cowboys are a premium brand, and anybody who wants to be associated with that premium brand is going to pay premium money. So the same thing should go for Dak. Being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback has value, but being the Dallas Cowboys Pro Bowl quarterback who has led them to the playoffs more times than they had been the previous 6 years has even more value. Value to the team. Value to the Jones. Nobody was talking about the value of being a Cowboys quarterback when those Cowboys quarterbacks were Chad Hutchinson and Quincy Carter. There wasn't a whole hell of a lot of buzz to being a Cowboys quarterback when John Kitna was roaming the sideline, or 41-year-old Vinny Testaverde was slinging it. The so-called perks of being a Cowboy? Yeah, that rap might work for a backup who's trying to pick between two teams and knows that playing in Dallas might mean a little extra on the side. But for a franchise quarterback, and Jarrett would say that Dak is that. But for a franchise quarterback, man, get out of here with that nonsense. I've said this time and time again. I'm going to say it again right now. Quarterback contracts are not about stats. They're about timing. If you're a franchise quarterback and your contract is up, you're going to get paid. And you're probably going to get the biggest contract around. And by the way, have you seen what's happening to quarterbacks so far this season? Any play could be your last play. Not only should Dak Prescott not give them a discount after the last two games, his price ought to be going up. Because you sure as hell know that if he stunk up that joint in those two games, everybody would be saying his price should go down. If the Cowboys want to claim that being a Cowboy is a privilege, they better recognize that having a good quarterback is a privilege, and they better pay for it. Dak Prescott right now is not lucky he's the Cowboys quarterback. The Cowboys are lucky that Prescott is their quarterback. So no, he should not take less pennies to make that thing work for everybody else. Especially when, at the same time, you're telling all of us, yeah, you know, we are richer than everybody else.
The eye is getting smaller.
1-800-636-8686. You see what happened to Ben Roethlisberger. You see what happened to Drew Brees. You see what's happening to Cam Newton. You see what's happening to pretty much any quarterback under center right now. Yeah, I don't think he's going to leave money on the table. Just like Steven and Jarrah never leave money on the table. All right, in addition to that, and I will take your thoughts,
What do you mean?
I do want to talk about Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin. And not just Lane Kiffin, but Lane Kiffin in Tennessee. As I mentioned, ESPN did this great piece on the 10-year anniversary of Lane Kiffin being in Tennessee. Lane Kiffin's 1 year at Tennessee. I remember that being an amazing year. In fact, I remember talking to Lane that year. I remember talking about Lane quite a bit that year. That was an amazing year. But looking back on it now, I had no idea how good it really was. And I've got a couple of, actually multiple takes on that, which I will get to. Tony Gonzalez is coming up in about 10 minutes. Martin Truex and Terry Francona in hour number three. This email, Rome, sorry, there is a distribution dilemma. Signed, Ritt telling Hawk he's out of Werther's Originals.
It's lit!
Drew in West LA. Tell you what, Ike, they're never going to run out of ways to call you old. This one is directed to Snaglio Ordonez. Really looking forward to tonight's Titans-Jags game. Regards, going to alcohol-free gender reveal parties. Michael in Buffalo, assisting them. Hey, Hawk. Is it me or is it you? Did I not block this guy yesterday?
Fuck!
Are you not paying attention? Have you got a short-term memory issue? Did I or did I not block this guy yesterday? Yeah, I know it's on you, Hawk. Hawk's like, I'll own that. That's big of you, Hawk. Go ahead and own that. He's blocked. What do you not understand about block?
Fuck!
Hey, Jim.
Fuck!
We're trying to spin the clock until tonight's Jags-Titans game. Should be very exciting. Regards people who watch C-SPAN. Drew in West L.A. I'm into it. I disagree. I'm not saying it's the greatest game ever. I'm saying I'm into it. In fact, I hit James Kelly last night. I'm like, yo, bro, you getting down? His exact reaction to me was, I'm jonesing, man. I've been waiting on this 2 days. I'm into that game. I'm into the game. Let's see. Let's see how Jalen Ramsey shows up. Let's see how Gardner Minshew shows up. Let's see about that Titans defensive line. Let's see if Mike Vrabel's got something for that young quarterback. Let's see if Derrick Henry gets his. I will probably look for a little action tonight on that one. No, I'm into it. You're barking up the wrong tree if you're coming in here to tell me how crappy that game is. All right, then. Tony Gonzalez, Pro Football Hall of Fame tight end, joins me when we come back. Hiring can be a challenge. As Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner has discovered, Gretch needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company and knew that would not be easy. Not easy to find somebody for her team. That's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter and was impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter's screening questions so she could focus on the best candidates. And that's how Gretchen found a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it is no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try it for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome, 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, so once again, the middle of the program is wide open. First things first, though, we are joined by an NFL analyst. He is the NFL's all-time leader in catches, yards, and touchdowns by a tight end. He went to 14 Pro Bowls. He was a member of the 2000s All-Decade Team, a 2019 inductee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is host of the Wide Open Podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and YouTube. And Tony Gonzalez, A Football Life, premieres tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. So we've got a few things to get caught up on. Tony, good to have you back on the show. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How you been, buddy?
Good, good, Tony. Great to get caught up. Good to have you back. Listen, it's been about a month, Tony, since you were inducted into the Hall of Fame. When you look back on that weekend, Tony, what are some of the moments that stick out to you the most?
Well, I think probably a lot of people talk about the luncheon that they have, the Ray Nitschke, Deacon Jones luncheon, where all the players get into a room and they just shut it. Nobody's allowed in the room. No coaches, no media, no anybody. And they just talk and they just hang out. That was really cool because, you know, growing up, you see, you have your fans, like Jim Brown is in that room, Dan Marino, you know, all these Hall of Fame greats from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and you're hanging out with them, you're in there, and they all got their yellow jackets on. That's when it became like, this is real. Like, I really made the Hall of Fame, one of the highlights. And then, of course, having my family there, especially my children, letting them see what I was able to do throughout my career, because, you know, they probably don't remember most of it, you know, besides my oldest son, Nico. And so I was really thankful that my younger kids were able to kind of see their dad up there on that stage getting recognized as you know, one of the best ever. It was a really special weekend for us.
That is tremendous. Tony Gonzalez joining us. Tony Gonzalez, a Football Life premieres tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Tony, during your speech, you went all the way back to your Pop Warner days and playing high school football at Huntington Beach High. What did coaches at Huntington Beach, people like Coach Pascoe and Coach Curtis, mean to you both as a player and a person?
It was great. You know, obviously I had those guys out at the Hall of Fame with me. They're the ones who got me started. Everybody has to get a start somewhere. And Coach Curtis, he was my freshman football coach. I wanted to be a running back, Jim. And I thought I was going to be the next Bo Jackson or Marcus Allen, you know, being from L.A. here. And he was like, no, son, you're going to play tight end. So I've been playing tight end since my freshman year of high school football. I wasn't one of these, you know, guys that converted after college or something because I'm a basketball player. And then Coach Pascoe, you know, allowed me to be my best version of myself back in high school. And it goes off the field where, you know, the mentorship from those guys. It was my basketball coach, too. Roy Miller was there. He was a big part of my development as a youth in high school. So it was just fun to give back to those guys, have them out at the Hall of Fame with me.
We're talking to Tony Gonzalez. Now, Tony, you made time to thank so many coaches, but one of them I really want to ask you about. You've played for a lot of great coaches, both in basketball and in football. Have you ever played for anybody else who is quite like Dick Vermeil?
No. Dick is amazing. I think what separates him as a coach, what he does differently is he really does care about his players. And, you know, him and Carol, his wife, they would have a dinner once a week, and they'd host different positions on the team, and they'd have them over at their house. It doesn't matter if you're a practice squad guy, if you'd only been there a week, you're going to come over, and you're going to have dinner with him and his wife, and he'll share some, you know, he loves wine, and he'll share his affection for wine and pour you some really good glasses of wine. And, it, you know, the closer you got to him, the better the wine was. So
right.
It was always fun to go over there. And then the emotion, too. Like, you know, he cried a lot. There's no secret to that, because he gets emotional. He really does care about us as players, as well as going out there and winning football games. That's why he's one of the best coaches ever, in my opinion.
We're talking to Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez, A Football Life does premiere tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Tony, I thought your speech was really, really interesting for a number of different reasons. You know, there was a word that you used quite a bit in the speech that people might be surprised by, and that was the word fear. What were you like as a Pop Warner player?
I was a fearful little kid, little child back then, and you know, I had the ability, obviously, but I didn't have it in my heart. I didn't have it in my mind because I was so scared of getting hit. I was so scared of standing out for whatever reason. And football did not work out for me young. My first year, I actually quit. And second year, I stayed on the team the whole year because my mom made me this time. But it really never clicked. It took me a couple years to finally come out of that. And that's where the bully came in because I was just afraid of everything. And then finally, you know, my whole bully story, I won't go into it here unless you want me to.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Tony. Tony, I think if you don't mind, because I think that's, I mean, you're a Hall of Famer who dealt with something that most people deal with at some point. So if you don't mind, maybe you can get into it.
Well, then real quickly, you know, so I had a bully come after I played Pop Warner football those 2 years. My eighth grade year, I didn't play. But I had this bully that used to come down from the local high school when I was in junior high, and he wanted to fight me, wanted to beat me up. So I hid from this kid every single day. And ran from him because I was scared. And then finally he called me up on the phone and said, I want to fight you. And I said, okay, give me a couple of weeks to train. We set the date for the fight. I was going to the fight by myself. I had no friends at this point. Everybody thought I was a wimp. and I'm by myself heading to the fight, and there must have been, you know, every school in our neighborhood and high school must have known about the fight because they were there at the park. And so I did what any normal kid would do. I turned around and ran and went home, and things got worse after that. And it culminated at graduation at junior high. He shows up to the graduation, and I see him there, and I get scared. After the graduation's over, everybody throws their hat up. I go and hide behind a wall, and my family comes walking up looking for me, and they all find me at the same time. And that's when I saw the look on my mom's face and saw the look on my brother's face of complete disappointment, and because they knew what was going on. And they had told me, just get it over with, fight this guy. Who cares if you lose? You take an ass-whooping, you take an ass-whooping. But I was so scared. And I said to myself, I will never see that look on their face again. And it changed everything for me in that one instant. And I've never ran since then from anything that I'm afraid of. It doesn't mean I'm going to accomplish it right away. And that changed everything for me because football, the next year I went to high school, and all those same kids that I played Pop Warner with, they were on that team in high school, and they're looking at me like, oh, here he goes again, trying out again. But things were different this time. I wasn't afraid anymore, and I was able to go out there and put everything I had into it and go through that fear. It doesn't mean I wasn't afraid. I went through that fear now. I didn't let it paralyze me. And I kind of changed my life. It changed the trajectory of where I was going. So I'm kind of thankful for that bully. And that's kind of what the football life is about. It's about being thankful for those low times in your life.
Tony Gonzalez joining us on the program. I'm so glad you shared that story, Tony. Really quickly, did you ever run into the bully ever again? Did that ever reconcile, or was there any closure there?
Yeah, him? I saw him my junior year, and I was over at his high school now. He's a senior. And I kicked his ass, Jim. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I love the way that story ended. Are you kidding?
I know that's the way the Hollywood ending is. No, but I did see him, and I just saw him. And this time, now I'm like a monster. I'm 6'5", 210 pounds at this point. And I just looked at him and shook my head and didn't do anything to him. There's no reason to. Honestly, it was a gift that he gave me. It was the gift the hard way. And that's kind of a lesson for a lot of people. When you're going through those hard times, a lot of times that's where the biggest growth is. That's kind of what you need. That's life saying, hey, you got to work on this, and here's a gift for you, even though you don't want it. But take it and learn from it, and you'll be even a better version of yourself, and that's how it worked out for me.
That's so good. Tony Gonzalez joining us. Tony, you've had an amazing football life. That's a part of it right there, a big part of it. But you've had an amazing football life. So what was it like to be a part of this project, and then what kind of feelings do you think you'll have tomorrow night when it airs?
I think it's going to be great because everybody gets to see my story, and kind of like my podcast, it's wide open. I didn't hold back on anything. You're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of my career on how it all started. You know, when I was out there in Kansas City, the ups and downs of being there, the ups and downs of being with the Atlanta Falcons. And that's what I kind of, you know, mind, body, and spirit. That's kind of what I'm all about. You know, after my second year in the league, dropping all those balls, leading the league and drop passes, my life changed dramatically. I started reading books. I started learning about the process of success, mind, body, and spirit-wise. And it made me a better person in the long run. And you're going to see that story in the football life, see it up close and personal, told by me, and then not just me, but by my family, my friends, and my teammates. So I think people will get a lot out of it just watching. It's more than just watching me as the big star tied in. It was much deeper than that.
It's Tony Gonzalez, Say Football Life. Once again, that does premiere tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. Tony, I'm glad you mentioned your podcast. I wanted to ask you about that. It's called The Wide Open Podcast. It provides a look into what you're pointing out, you know, the way you embrace all the revolutionary changes taking place in the world of health, mindset, wellness, family. I know you've thought about these things for a long time, but how did that podcast first come to be, and how did you decide that health, mindset, wellness were the things that you want to focus on?
Well, that's what I'm all about. Like I said before, I mean, I'm obsessed with reading books like biographies. I want to read about Michael Jordan. I want to read about Tiger Woods, Kobe. I want to read about great politicians. I want to read about great musicians. Why them? Why are they? Is it something they're born with, or is it something that you can develop? And I really do believe it's something that you can develop. And then the spiritual side of it, how to calm your mind, how to be at peace, how to be present. All those things, and that's what the podcast is about. I bring guests on that have achieved great things, you know, true movers and shakers, you know, Michael Strahan, David Spade, Jessica Alba, Scooter Braun, and much, much more doctors that have been able to do these amazing things and then give us the secrets, give us the routines, the lessons that they've learned along the way, and then we can apply it in our life because to me, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's probably, if you're into something, you should be into leveling up, being the best version of yourself, because you do that, then everything else you want in life will take care of itself. I've seen that in my life, and now I get to bring guests on and hopefully try to bring that out in their stories and share that with the world.
I love that line, Tony. Really quickly, one quick follow, leveling up. What do you mean by that? You know, people talk about being squared away or leveling up. What's that mean to you?
To me, leveling up means playing the game of life with your heart. You know, any athlete out there who's ever played a sport, the inevitable phrase that you're going to get from your coach is going to be play with your heart. Play with your heart. And what does that mean to me? You know, I always heard that, but I didn't really know what it meant. And to me, it means opening up your heart. If you're going to play with your heart, you got to get in your heart and you got to open it up. And that's what Tom Brady plays with. That's what Joe Montana played with. That's where, you know, the game slows down. It's peace. It's joy. It's no fear of judgment. You're in the moment, completely in the moment. And I wanted to, and I was able to do that on the football field, but you know, I've had a little trouble bringing that off the football field. And now that's the point of this podcast. Let's level up and be the best versions of ourselves, because there's, you know, success leaves clues, you know, copy genius. And then you make it your own version of that success. And you can, you know, you help your family, you help yourself, you help your family, you help your friends, you help society. So I get excited. Play with your heart. That's really what it is about for me.
Love it. He is a Hall of Famer. He's an NFL analyst. Tony Gonzalez, A Football Life, premieres tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network. That's going to be tremendous. And also the host of the Wide Open Podcast. That is available right now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and YouTube. Tony, that was great. So good to get caught up. I'll be looking for the show tomorrow night, Tony, and always good to talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me, bud.
Tony, that was great. Really enjoyed that. Thanks so much. Tony Gonzalez, leveling up, playing with his heart, and showing up completely engaged with tremendous energy. And what a story that was about the bully. Tony Gonzalez got bullied. That's why I want him to tell that story. I mean, that's, you look at somebody like that, and he was a monster. 6'5", unbelievable athlete, could play pro basketball, Hall of Fame tight end, and he went through what all of us have gone through. You know, there's that one point in time where everybody's got to stand their ground and answer to that one a-hole. And what do you do? And he said, I'll never forget the look on my family's face, and I never want to see that look ever again, and I never did. It actually was a gift. That was an amazing story. I'm really glad he shared that. All right, so we will break, and I'll take your thoughts. That was a great conversation. I'm not surprised. We are wide open until the top of hour number three, and I've got back-to-back interviews then. In and around all that, I want to talk about tonight's Thursday night matchup that some of you already came in to kill. I'm into that game. I like it. Jacksonville, Tennessee. I'm not going to say it's the matchup of the year. I'm saying I'm into it. I'm watching it. Also, it has been 10 years since Lane Kiffin was at Tennessee. I remember that as an amazing time, but apparently it's even better than I thought. ESPN has done a great job of chronicling this, and I want to go back. And there were times where I spoke to him during that period that I want to reset. You have your phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. Hit me up on email. A reset of episode 96 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Houston Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta. But right now, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I've always enjoyed Tony Gonzalez. I interviewed him throughout his entire career. When he was in KC, when he was with the Falcons, I would see him on the NFL on CBS when I went back there and did that show. I have always enjoyed, always respected, always admired Tony Gonzalez, always will. That was as good a conversation as we've ever had, and we always have great ones. His energy was unbelievable. Completely engaged and so interesting. That was a blast. Sunday, it's an NFL and CBS doubleheader. First, Mahomes and the Chiefs open up their 2019 home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Side note, really interesting game. Really interesting game. Then you've got Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints heading to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. I've got a take on the Saints, which I will get to later on. It's a full day of football, starting with JB and the fellas on the NFL Today on CBS. Dear Rome, all players should want to play for the Cowboys because they're the Cowboys. It shouldn't be about the money. They should be honored to be on a team with a brand like the Cowboys. Sign the Lakers, trying to sign free agents by telling them they're the Lakers. John in Huntington Beach. Great brand. Yeah, John, your brand is amazing.
Hey, John.
You know how you know when you have a great brand? When you hear something or see something and you can quickly identify what that brand is. Like John in Huntington Beach. Let's play that game. I'm going to say something and you tell me what comes to mind immediately in terms of branding. John in Huntington Beach, dope. It's your brand, bro. Come on. Back to the Cowboys. I'm not saying that if you're a Dallas Cowboy and you win big, that there won't be something on the back end or something on the side, that there might be a little something extra, that winning a championship with the Cowboys is different than winning a championship, say, for the Ravens. Nothing against the Ravens. Like winning a championship for the Yankees would be different than winning a championship with somebody else. I'm not saying that that's not a fact. What I am saying is, if you're a franchise quarterback like Dak Prescott, to suggest that he should take less than market value because he can make it back somewhere else is a joke. It's ridiculous. Because at the same time, again, you've got Stephen Jones saying, hey, just so you know, we're worth more than any franchise in all of sports. Any soccer team, any basketball team, any baseball team, $5.5 billion, yo. Look at us, $5.5 billion. That's great, Stephen. Congratulations. Hey, listen, if I'm a sponsor and I want to advertise in stadium or in your program or on any of your platforms, since you have so many different ways to make so much money, what do you say you give me a little discount? Chip me off a little something, Steve. Oh, no. No, we are a premium brand. We're the Dallas Cowboys. You want to be associated with us? You pay for that. It's a premium brand, which comes with a premium price. Right, like your quarterback. It's an absurd argument. They can make it back elsewhere. Dak Prescott can make that money at an autograph signing session. Come on. It's a ridiculous argument. We have a dilemma. We have too many guys that need to get paid. You mean the same dilemma that every team in the NFL has under that salary cap? D-Rod 2203 tweets, let me know when the NFL puts a decent Monday night or Thursday night game on. Thanks. Sincerely, non-degenerate gamblers. I'm not saying all the Thursday night games are good. In fact, I'm saying a lot of them suck. And you know why that is? It's a quick turnaround. It's tough enough for these guys to go Sunday to Sunday. Tough enough to go Sunday, roll out of the rack on Monday, feeling horrible, and somehow get their minds and bodies right to do it again on Sunday. It would seem to me, although I've never done it, it's probably near impossible to do it on a Thursday, which is why they only ask them to do it once a year. But that's why those games are so bad. It's not enough time. Which brings me back to a conversation we had on Tops when I went back to New York over the weekend. This notion of an 18-game regular season schedule. You know, so the NFL is all about player safety, player safety, player safety. We have to do what's best to make the game as safe as possible. How is 18 games safer? If you're about player safety, how can you ask or suggest that the players play 18 games? One of their workarounds, there was a proposal over the week or over the summer whereby the regular season would be extended to 18 games, but the players would not be asked to play more than 16 games. So that's a weird workaround. Because in effect, what you're admitting is, you know, we know there's increased risk. That's why we're not asking you to play more than 16. In fact, we won't let you, but the schedule dictates that we'll play 18. In other words, it's a cash grab. So I understand why the owners want it, more money. I understand why the fans would want it, more football. I understand why the players would not want it. And by the way, it's not good for the product. And what would you do? How would you feel if you were holding a ticket and you thought you were going to see Tom Brady, but he'd already hit his max, or they were saving him for the other games. They knew they couldn't play him more than 16, and you got Stidham instead. Wouldn't you be pissed? So, in terms of the games themselves and why Thursday night games are not that good, it's the quick turnaround. It's not just a matchup. You're asking these guys to turn around and play again on a Thursday night. Having made that point, I'm still into tonight's game. I like that matchup. I will watch it happily. There are Thursday night games. I don't want to say that I watch unhappily, because even though they're crappy games, they still pay me to watch crappy games, which is a really good job. But I'm into tonight's game. I like it. Romy, we for one can't wait. I mean, here's another one. We for one can't wait for the Jags game tonight. Gardner Minshew is our boy, and we love his look. Regards, IPA enthusiasts, Hawks wardrobe at a professional golf tournament. Geoff and Lincoln. War, smoke weed, talk bleep like Lane Kiffin.
Smoke weed, talk like Lane Kiffin.
Man, what an amazing time that was. That really happened. Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne talking about Lane Kiffin.
Smoke weed, talk like Lane Kiffin.
And then there's a documentary where Lil Wayne talks about me talking about Lil Wayne talking about Lane Kiffin. And it's awesome. And I will get to that later on. That's one of my all-time favorite lines. Smoke weed, talk bleep like Lane Kiffin.
Smoke weed, talk like Lane Kiffin.
And not now where there's an easing in regulation. That was back in the day when he was talking about that. She's back. Hey, Hawk, are you bringing me Bella B's emails because she hyped you up? Hi, Jim. I'm sure some clones appreciate the update on the Cowboys, but I'm here to remind you of the iOS 13 update. So many new features to look forward to. Dark mode, Apple Arcade, new privacy features, and of course, the release of the new emojis. The update is available at 10 a.m. your time today. You're welcome, Bella B in Calgary. B. Man, I hate to be a buzzkill, B. I hate to be the cooler and the wet blanket, B. I've been rocking that for weeks. I'm on the beta program, B, which you can be on. They will let you get the advanced copy. I downloaded iOS 13 weeks ago. I've been on dark mode for weeks now, B. I've been using all these features. The problem I have, it's, and by the way, the dark mode is incredible. It's beautiful. I love it. The new phones are being delivered tomorrow. And apparently, if you have an existing phone on beta and you go to start up the new phone, there is a conflict between the two, which means maybe I shouldn't be on beta. B, sorry about that. I've been rocking what you've been waiting on for weeks now, and you could too. Dark mode is badass. It is beautiful. The problem with the beta is when you do that, it's always glitchy. It's always buggy. It's a beta. That's why they do that. They want to test it and they want your reaction to it. This is why they pushed out there early on. So you take the good with the bad. So whatever you're going to download will probably be much better. Bella B in Calgary is a crazy Apple enthusiast. 1-800-636-8686. Those phone lines are open. Also, to start hour number two, which is wide open, I do want to talk about Lane Kiffin being in Tennessee. Without giving away the entire take, say what you want about his 1 year there. Say what you want about the way he left there. Tennessee has not been anywhere near what they were when he was there that year. They haven't had nearly the buzz since he was there. And then when you see this story, there were so many things going on that we didn't know about. The things that we did know about were amazing, but there were things that we did not know about. So I'm anxious to get through this break and open up hour number two and wish Lane a happy 10-year anniversary. Good times. We are literally going to talk Tennessee football when we come back. If you've got something to say about tonight's game other than how horrible it is, I'm here for it. Who do you got? Jacksonville, Tennessee. It's actually a pretty important game. Who do you like? We will get into it. 1-800-636-8686. I'm leaning strongly towards Tennessee on the road. Martin Truex Jr., top of the third hour. Terry Francona, also in hour number three. We're talking Lane Kiffin when we come back.